speak from God's word this evening as it is found in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We shall begin reading with verse 24 and read through verse 47, the end of the chapter. The words of Jesus himself. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which received honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? The text for the sermon tonight is verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The whole Gospel of John has as its theme the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's indicated already in the prologue to the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That this is the theme of the entire book of John is emphasized in chapter 20, in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So the entire Gospel of John, and really the whole of the Scriptures, testifies of the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the wonder of wonders concerning Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. No natural man can ever receive that truth. That truth can only be known by the child of God who has the Spirit of Jesus Christ in his or her heart. And by that Spirit, he can and does know that Jesus is the Son of God. He makes that confession, and he finds in that confession his hope and the knowledge, the reality of life eternal. That's the great wonder. Because Jesus is the Son of God, therefore, through faith in him, we have eternal life. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And in him is revealed the glory of God. The church believes that, and she confesses that by the grace of God. And that's so foundational. If Jesus is not the Son of God, he cannot be our Savior, and our hope in him is utterly vain. It is all because he is the Son of God that the blood that he shed on the cross could atone for our sins. It is all because he is truly the Son of God that he is Emmanuel, and that in him we behold the glory of the God of our salvation. It is very serious to deny this truth. As we said this morning also, the Jehovah's Witnesses and cults, other cults, go about in our land denying that Jesus is the Son of God. They go from house to house to try and argue against the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. The modern-day church, in its proud unbelief, denies the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. Some of them do that by silence regarding that truth. Others openly deny the truth of the deity of Christ. It's impossible. They say that God could have sent his Son into the world. That's not scientifically possible. That's not something that the modern mind can receive. And so, if it does read the Scriptures at all, It is unbelieving. God's purpose is giving us the Holy Scriptures is to reveal to us His Son, Jesus Christ. And by knowing Him, coming to Him through faith, we have the hope of eternal life. It is of this truth that Jesus testifies in chapter 5. Chapter 5 in John is a tremendously profound and beautiful chapter, although I wouldn't go so far as to say that that's more true than any of the other chapters. The discourses of Jesus in the book of John are outstanding, and they are worthy of profound study on what they say. This discourse of Jesus is an amazing discourse. In this discourse, Jesus condemns the unbelieving Jews because they do not believe in Him. They do not believe, even though Jesus has the testimony, a threefold testimony, that He is the Son of God. He has the testimony of God His Father, who declared, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He has the testimony of the works, the wonderful miracles that Jesus did, demonstrating beyond any doubt that He is indeed whom He claims to be, the Son of God. And He has the testimony of Scripture. Those three are really one. Jesus performed His mighty works by the power that God His Father gave to Him, and through those works, God the Father in heaven reveals clearly that this man, Jesus, is the Son of God, the mighty Lord of our salvation. The Scriptures are the infallible record of that revelation of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus commands all of us to search the Scriptures in order that we might behold in them the face of Jesus Christ, His Son, in order that we might believe in Him unto life eternal. I chose this passage for a specific reason this evening. I chose it as a passage to use as we begin another season of catechism instruction and of societies and of the labors of our covenant Christian schools. How thankful we are for all of these things. God gives us these opportunities in order that they all, including the institution of the Christian home, might help us to do this one thing, to search God's Word there to find Christ in His glory, in the power of His salvation. And we're thankful for the presence of the Scriptures in our Christian schools. If that isn't central, if the Scriptures aren't central in our Christian schools, then of course we don't even have Christian schools. Our Christian schools have the Scriptures as the book, the perfect book of God for all instruction. And God has given to the church the Scriptures. They are preached from this pulpit, as they reveal the glory of Christ. And we have the scriptures in our homes there to instruct our children. And we have the scriptures in the communion of the saints. And so we gather in our Bible studies wonderful opportunities that together with our fellow saints, we might search the scriptures and there behold the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's consider this text. Search the scriptures to find Christ. Notice, first of all, the scriptures we are to search. Secondly, Christ is revealed in them all. And finally, the command to search them. There's a grammatical question regarding one of the phrases, and this isn't just a formal issue, it's a rather important issue. Precisely what does the form of the text mean when it says search the scriptures? In the original language, that word can be either in, now this is a little technical, but it's worth listening to, that form can be either in the indicative, a statement of fact, or it can be in the imperative, a command. When you study various commentaries, you will find that even among the most reputable commentaries, there is a division about this. Some take one position and some take another. And we will not be dogmatic regarding one position over against the other. Each of the arguments have some good support. And they certainly are according to the precise word, because that can either mean indicative or imperative. If it is in the indicative, the meaning of Jesus then is he's saying to the Jews, you are searching the scriptures all the time. And yet you do not find in them Christ. And then the idea is that they just are not searching the scriptures in a proper way. They're reading them as unbelievers. And though they study the scriptures as the Pharisees, the scribes did, they did not see in them the wonder of Jesus Christ. Because they were reading them in the wrong way. The other idea is that Jesus is commanding these unbelieving Jews to begin to do that which they never before did. Search the scriptures, for they testify of me. Now, personally, I take the position that the right interpretation is the imperative. Jesus is not saying, that's introducing an idea that isn't as such in the text, not a wrong idea, but he is not telling the Jews that you're just simply reading the scriptures in a wrong way. But he is commanding them to do something that all along they have never done. They must search the scriptures. And the word search means to investigate them carefully, to dig into them, to penetrate into them, to investigate them thoroughly as to what they really are saying. And when you do that, then Jesus says, you will find that they testify of me. The Jews were not doing that because of their unbelief. And Jesus condemns them for their unbelief. The Spirit-filled child of God must do this very thing. Searching the scriptures is an activity of faith, of the faith that the Jews did not possess. That was their fundamental problem. Willingly, they refused to believe, and they were blinded, and God was sovereign even in that. Though they read the scriptures, they could not see Christ in the scriptures. The child of God, enlightened by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is by Christ himself called the Spirit of Truth, can read the scriptures and behold in the scriptures the wonder of the truth of God's Son, who is the God of our salvation. And that's true because of the wonder of the scriptures themselves. There is no book in the whole world like the scriptures, and that's an understatement. There is no book like the scriptures in the whole world. That is an absolute understatement. The scriptures are what they are because they are the infallible revelation of God. Peter speaks of that in 2 Peter chapter 1, when he has this to say concerning the scriptures. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One of the classic passages of God's word that prove the truth concerning what the scriptures are. They are the infallible revelation of God himself, and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus uses that term, the scriptures, in the text, he is referring to the Old Testament. Already at the time when Jesus was on earth, there was a collection of the 39 books of the Old Testament. And they already had that official and somewhat technical designation. They were together as a collection. They were in the providence of God already in one book, though maybe not always literally. Sometimes they were existed in many different scrolls. But together they were the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. The 39 books of the Old Testament. And Jesus says, if you read, if you search these scriptures, you will find that they testify of me. No human book could ever do that. We might have human authors who, at the time of Jesus, wrote about Jesus. But the Bible, the scriptures are God's word, inspired by God. They are inexhaustible in their depth and meaning. And they are centrally the revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ. From the beginning to end, they testify of Christ. That's their wonder. You want to know Christ, then by God's grace, you have to search the scriptures and behold with grace in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of glory, the only hope of salvation. The wonder is that in the Old Testament already. From the very beginning of the Old Testament, the scriptures testify of one thing, that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the eternal Son of God, the Christ of God. They don't do that merely in isolated passages, but on every single page, the scriptures testify of Christ. He's there on every page. And Jesus affirms that. I have three that bear witness of me, Jesus says, in this mighty passage. You could study every single verse of this passage. It's just full of depth and meaning. But what a statement Jesus said makes in verse 39 when he says, they testify of me. The Old Testament, in its beginning, in paradise already, before the fall, there was the tree of life, a picture of the life that we have in Jesus Christ. In the mother promise, as it is called, in Genesis 3, verse 15, there is the promise of the seed of the woman who would arise to crush the head of the serpent to gain the victory for his people and deliverance from the power of Satan. And you can go on and on. The promise to Abraham, the seed of the promise, Isaac, that was a prophecy of Christ. The inspired Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 says, concerning that promise that God made to Abraham, concerning that seed is Christ. Who would ever have imagined that? And yet, that's the truth. The seed of Abraham is ultimately Christ. All of the history of the Old Testament testifies of Christ. Abraham rejoiced, Jesus said, to see my day. The glory of Christ was revealed in the sacrifice of Isaac and in the substitute that God provided in the ram that Abraham offered on Mount Moriah. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. The circumcision, that was the rite of the covenant in the Old Testament, was a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. The prophecy that Jacob made concerning Judah and concerning the coming of Shiloh, Genesis 49, were prophecies of Christ. The Psalms, I said that already earlier, were not ashamed of singing the Psalms. Many of the Psalms are very explicitly messianic. And it's amazing that this Psalter, I hope, if we ever do anything to change the Psalter, as is being investigated by our denomination, I hope we don't take out of the titles the name Christ. Because we're reminded repeatedly that when we are singing the Psalms, we are singing about Christ. And we have to have such an understanding in the church and in our homes and families that when we sing the Psalms, we're always singing ultimately about Christ. The prophecies. Moses made prophecies. They pointed to Christ. The temple, all of its ceremonies, all of its sacrifices, its priesthood, the blood that flowed from the altar, a burnt offering, it all testified of Jesus Christ. The feasts, the great solemnities, regularly by God's ordination celebrated by the nation of Israel, the Passover and Pentecost and all the other feasts, they all spoke of Christ. the prophecies, hundreds and hundreds of them, spoke and testified of Christ. How amazing it is that you have all of this revelation of Christ in the Old Testament. It was impossible yet for the saints of the Old Testament to understand those prophecies fully. But we must not take the position that they had no understanding. God gave all of these types in order to reveal Christ, the promise of Christ. Isaiah 7, the prophecy of Emmanuel, the virgin birth, Emmanuel. That was Christ. Isaiah 9, the Son that was given, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the reference was to Christ. Isaiah 53, the prophecy of the suffering servant of the Lord, what a vivid portrayal that was of the suffering and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when the Ethiopian eunuch was in the chariot with Philip, and they were reading from Isaiah 53, and he asked, "Of whom does the prophet prophesy?" And Philip declared to him the Christ from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 61, the Lord's anointed Jesus, when he was in the synagogue, opened the scriptures, and he opened the scriptures at Isaiah 61, and he showed how this was a prophecy of Christ. And so already in the Old Testament, you have this wonderful thing about the scriptures. You have the person of the Son of God, Emmanuel, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. You have it revealed that the Messiah will be God's own Son. You have his suffering and death of the cross. You have all the prophecies of his glorious victories in the resurrection and ascension and exaltation. You have all of the psalms that sing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of these testify of Christ. Jesus made that plain also to the disciples as they were traveling to Emmaus after the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Then Jesus appeared in this amazing account of Jesus' instruction of these two disciples. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And now, the New Testament. And God sends his Son into the world, the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And in the light of the New Testament, those who behold him, they can see the wondrous truth, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And after the Holy Spirit was poured out, then the apostles understood as never before the truth of Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Son of God, the reason for the necessity of his cross, the certainty of his resurrection, the blessed hope of his coming again. The New Testament is the full revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the 27 books of the New Testament, they also are given to the church, inspired by God. They are the inspired revelation of God, the fullness of the revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ, in order that we might know him and believe in him. And believing in him, we might have the hope of eternal life. And this is eternal life. To know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Because that revelation of God in Jesus Christ must be preserved, it must be preached to the end of the world. Christ, God, gave us the scriptures, which are the infallible revelation of Jesus Christ. What a gift that is. All true preaching involves the exposition of the Holy Scriptures as they reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we need, beloved, this is the great need that we have. We need to search the Scriptures in order that we might find there, by grace, with the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our heart, search the Scriptures. For Jesus says, they testify of me. Jesus rebuked the Jews because they didn't do that. In spite of all of their boasting of Moses, all of their claims of understanding Moses, they didn't search the Scriptures. They didn't understand them. They would constantly condemn Jesus. They accused him of blasphemy because he testified of being the Son of God. They thought that they could find life. Ye think that in them, in the Scriptures, you have life. But they were wrong. Why? Because when they read Moses, they read in them the idea that a man is saved through the keeping of the law. And that wasn't Moses. God gave the law through Moses. Never did he give the law to his people in the Old Testament in order that through the keeping of the law they would be saved. But rather, God gave the law through Moses in order that through the law God's people might be led to Christ. The scribes and the Pharisees were blinded by their own self-righteousness. They read the Scriptures. They did not search the Scriptures. And they were blinded to all of the testimony of Scripture. What did they do with the sacrifices? What did they mean? Why were these sacrifices necessary? They were blind to the fact that all of these were types and shadows of Christ and the need of the cross. They imagined, they thought that by following the law, they could be saved. And Jesus says, you're wrong. You have not understood Moses. Because Moses did not teach salvation by the law, but Moses taught that there is no other salvation than in Jesus Christ. The law condemns us because of our sin in order that it might lead us to Christ. And so the unbelieving Jews stand condemned. And the unbelieving men of our day stand condemned. They read the Bible as literature. Today there are colleges. You can take a course in the Scriptures. and they're unbelieving courses. There's no mention made of the truth, the real truth, that Jesus is the Son of God, and they just read the scriptures like they read in other book. Interesting Jewish history, interesting facts about a certain man who lived many years ago, historically perhaps, but certainly not a man who did the wonders of God and who was the Son of God. Modernism is blind to that. The tragedy of apostasy, it goes that far. That the church no longer believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. What a shocking reality concerning apostasy. But that's also really the blindness of so much false doctrine, the blindness of Pelagianism, the blindness of Arminianism. They read the scriptures and they find in the scriptures ways that they can, through their own works, attain to salvation. And Jesus says, no, no, you're entirely wrong. What you have to do is search the scriptures. From beginning to end, they testify of me. The only hope for man is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And we come to Christ by God's wonderful provision to us of the Holy Scriptures. Their God reveals to us His Son, the only hope of our righteousness, His cross, His atonement, His sacrifice, His resurrection, His exaltation, His coming again in glory. They are all revealed to us in the Scriptures. And we read them by God's gift of faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We find in the Scriptures Jesus Christ, the hope of His salvation. That's how we have to read the Scriptures. That's the command of Jesus Christ to us personally. Don't ever read the Scriptures in any other way. Don't close the Bible after you have read a portion of the Scriptures and say, that's enough, I've done my duty. Don't close the Bible until you have found therein, by faith, the glory of Jesus Christ. When you sit, when we sit together with our families at the table, don't read the Scriptures just formally as a dead letter or as a religious routine, but don't end your Bible reading with your family and with your children until you have spoken to them of the truth of Jesus Christ, whom God reveals to us in the Holy Scriptures. We send our children to Christian school. We make great sacrifices. And we pray for our Christian schools, and we pray for the centrality of God's Word in our Christian schools, that it may always be true that the Scriptures are absolutely central in our Christian schools, in order that our children in every way might learn in all of their instruction the wonder of Jesus Christ. Only when we do that by faith, beloved, do we experience the blessed reality of what the Scriptures are. We find Christ there. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is revealed to us there. And when we do that, then the scriptures are profitable. Then they are the living word of God to us. And then they are the means through which God instructs us personally in Jesus Christ and in his salvation. And what a wonderful thing that is. Always, whatever sphere that may be in, we must read the scriptures, searching them diligently through faith, prayerfully, by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in order that we might see the glory of the face of God in Jesus Christ. And that should be the great incentive for us. That's the reason why I chose this text. That should be the great incentive for us in this new season of Bible study. Every one of us should think carefully about joining one of the several Bible studies that God has given to us here at Southwest, that we might gather together with our fellow believers, and that together we might search the scriptures to behold the glory of Christ. And that, beloved, is a lifelong pursuit. The glory of Christ is so great, it is infinite. Every time we read the scriptures, we learn something new, something more wonderful of the glory and truth of Christ. We do that personally. We do that in our homes. We do that centrally when the scriptures are preached in the church. We do that in the communion of the saints when we join together. That's a part of the life of the communion of the saints. When believers gather together in Bible studies to search the scriptures, to behold the glory of Jesus Christ, to encourage each other with Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the glory of Jesus Christ, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what we must do in our Bible studies, and we should be eager to make time in our lives for such a rich and blessed activity as gathering together with our fellow saints, searching the depths of God's holy, inspired word, there to find ever more wonderfully and more profoundly the truth of Jesus Christ, that our hope might be in none other than in Jesus Christ, and that our glory might be in him alone. And then God will be pleased with his church among us. And then God will be glorified, and Christ will be glorified among his saints. May God cause us all to consider this amazing and wonderful thing. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of thy holy, inspired word, and for the wonder of the truth that from beginning to end, they testify of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that we may receive from thee the gift of faith, thy Holy Spirit, the desire to search thy word daily, thoroughly, sincerely and prayerfully, in order that we might know Jesus Christ, thy Son, and his salvation more and more deeply. Amen.